This episode is so... I love this episode because once you like offered me the angle into let me just click okay to that, to Miranda and Steve as like, this is a compad story.
It's like, literally, that is my primary notes for this episode.
What we are watching, like Miranda is going through it. It's like, she's having such a bad time with this.
No, she's having like the worst time she's ever suffering. Had. She's suffering. Like, no, that's what I'm saying.
Carrie, like, also just like, okay, the most important detail in this entire episode is actually like one of the first lines, and it's when Carrie says, I've been dating Aiden for 3 weeks. And for everything else that happens after that, you have to remember they've been dating for 3 weeks.
3 weeks. Can she's you imagine about, like, if you are having like, hi, I wanted to meet your mom. Why don't you want me to meet your mom anymore? Kind of conversations after 3 weeks.
Like, or being asked to meet someone's mom. Like,
yeah.
And like,
yeah.
And like, oh, but the relationship is perfect. That's not a relationship yet.
I have so many opinions, like, about this. So
it's like, it's here. 3 weeks. It's no. Been three. It's so, it's, they're actually unhinged.
I barely took any notes this episode because I mostly was watching it passively. I mean, I was watching it, but like the things that stuck out to me were that, like, how do I say this? Carrie is feeling unsatisfaction with Aiden because if she was just like truly
like it.
What it is that she has a problem with, we could have been spared so much bullshit, which is that she doesn't actually like him.
She's not into him. She's not into him.
With relationships that I have found, and I was just talking to a friend about this, that like, I understand I probably sound like a harpy bitch that, you know, I went through divorce and now I sort of have this like very no bullshit attitude about most things, but like,
it's the correct attitude.
Really should not take this much convincing about why you like somebody 3 weeks into knowing them.
Literally. Like, also,
if
like,
you are needing to have debate club level arguments with your inner demon 3 weeks in to like compel you to want to spend time with this person. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, you don't want to be with this person.
And what's nice is that 3 weeks is actually like, you have no like real history together. You're still getting to know them. Like,
know them,
it's
anything.
A great time to disappear.
Yeah,
it's totally reasonable and appropriate to be like, actually, like, I don't want this to. I'm not sure if I'm feeling this. She won't accept her to herself that she might not like him. And I think that is actually the most interesting part of this episode, because it points to, like, I don't know, there's a couple things it points to, I guess. Like, one of them is that she can only conceive of herself as like a non-agentive person in a relationship.
Oh, Carrie like sees like, relationships capable as of, like, things that happen to her.
Yeah.
She, like, literally. An active force inside of them. But the other thing that's interesting is there is like a read of this episode that the writers give us that's like, is this an episode about drama? Is this an episode about like controversy in a relationship? Like, you know, conflict. What does conflict mean? If things are too good, is that also like a form of conflict in and of itself? I always read this episode as like an episode that demonstrates various stages of the way that women settle in relationships. Mm-hmm. Because like, if we were to,
I don't like it, but it's not bad. So I guess it's too good.
It's not bad. It is common. I mean, this is the thing that I think we get from Carrie. She's like, in love stories, we're always told that there's supposed to be like a dragon that needs to get slayed. I'm paraphrasing here, but like, you know, when there's no drama, like, is it even a relationship? And we all get to sort of see this way that I think the women compartmentalize the various stages of relationships that they are in, that they are just sort of like, I am making peace with that. This is the fact, this is just what it is. So like, with
the question is never posed, do I actually enjoy this?
No. So we're going to start at the very beginning.
Or does it need to escalate? Could it just be what it is?
So we have,
you're fine with dating him at the level that you're dating him. Yeah. But actually it sounds like if you're, I mean, at the previous episode or something, they were talking about like, oh, like we're spending all this time together. We're doing all this thing. And then I think the next one, they really talk about like, oh, we're living in our bed, all these things. Sounds like you're moving too fast.
Yeah, it sounds like you're moving too fast.
You maybe want to slow down.
If we're going to start with Samantha, like we can actually kind of line them all up, knock them all down. So Samantha is like, even like pre-relationship, she has a guy that she has like really...
This is one of my favorite transgender nods for her, no, where just she takes Viagra.
She takes Viagra. She has like a guy that she has Girls like rock. Stable sex with, and she doesn't want anything else out of that, right? Like she's like, this is like consistent dick. I'm like making peace that this guy is like the guy that I'm gonna get really good consistent dick from.
Yeah, and he's cute, actually.
He's cute, and that's like fine. You know, we have all been there. I was actually just in a place of like consistently settling for like pretty like okay dick appointments from like the okay guy that ultimately was like very, very boring, and I don't really like his personality. I think he kind of sucks, and I would never want to be seen in public with him, nor would I ever want to spend like a lick of time with him. But like the sex,
all right, well, tell me his bad sides.
No, I'm just saying, like, the sex got me to completion. I remembered the orgasms after, and it wasn't the worst experience in the moment. He's hot, attractive, all the things that like
I've had hookups like that, but I will say, like, when I get in touch with my body, I'm like, I'm not really enjoying this.
No, that's what
there's
I'm saying.
So many times,
once
like,
I got in touch like, with my body, that's where I had to sort of be like, wait.
I'm cutting you off midstream, but this is sort of something I've been thinking about lately because I've been like reevaluating my relationship to hooking up, which is like,
girl, aren't
I realize
we all,
that like, I don't know, those people all, that I'm like, so I think we're all reevaluating our relationship to hooking up.
I think we're all reevaluating our relationship.
What you're describing is just that it's really warm out.
Yeah.
I think it's just that like, I'm like, in theory, I'm attracted to these people, but in practice, I'm not really. And so, like, maybe I should not force it.
No, that's what I'm saying is, like it was a thing where it was like, in theory, I'm attracted to you, but in practice, I don't want anything to do with you.
Yeah.
But it was easier to just, like, have an orgasm every week than, like, really, like, have to think about too much the source that orgasm was coming from. Yeah. I've since put a stop to it because I got I want to breed you text message at like 5 p.m. and I went, you know what, like, I have, what am I doing? Like, I don't, this is stupid. You're stupid and not hot, and that's the least hot way to
the thing is, like certain kinds of like egregious oversteps in sexting can be so sexy.
No, that's what I'm saying,
the right person. But then when you get that interaction and you realize you're not into it, then you realize you're just not into them.
Here's an egregious overstep in texting. What are you doing right now? Oh, I'm working at my friend's cafe. Oh yeah, I wish I was there. I'd take you into the bathroom and fuck you. Like something like stupid. Yeah. I'm paraphrasing here.
That's not bad.
But what I'm saying is like, that is the kind of thing where you're like, okay, that's crazy. But if it's like a rapport that you have built and we text frequently, that's a different thing.
I mean, I'm saying this, but like literally like with my ex-boyfriend, like I came back from the gym and I was like, oh, I'm really sweaty. What are you doing right now? And he's like, oh, I'm just working from home. And I'm like, you should work from my apartment. And he's like, okay.
No, so we get then another.
When it works, it works.
So Samantha like settles for good, consistent dick. But like ultimately, it's like a nobody guy. The thing that I find very interesting is the fact that Charlotte also settles.
Yes.
But we don't know that that's what's happening yet. But if you think about it, like in terms of plot structure,
two ways.
This show, she has been waiting for like a literal white knight to come on a horse and save her. Like literally, that is, I think, is like a direct line that she says. She's waiting for her perfect guy. She's waiting for Mr. Right. She's waiting for him to like, you know, run into her on the street and they're going to have like a fabulous love story. And she literally settles for the first guy that steps out of a taxi and says
literally like, and even before like, that she is settling for the first guy.
Literally, she's settling for a married friend, single friend that she's being set
the first,
up with.
The first person, since she had the idea of, I'm going to, like, she read this book so, like, late 90s, early 2000s, like, perfect. Like, since she, like, read this book and it gave her the idea that you should, like, look for eligible bachelors or the friends of married men, the first man that is suggested to her, she's like, that's my guy. And then that blows up. And then she takes the first guy to present himself after that. Ma'am. She does not respect herself at
that
all. They're all really.
I'm fucking saying.
They're really hitting that point. It's like, and it's grim. It's really like, it's hard to watch, actually.
So we get then Carrie, who's sort of the next fundamental stage of a relationship, which is like the getting to know someone. And she is sort of like settling in that she is like, you know what? I don't know if I like Aiden. Is things working out? Are things too good? Like, maybe I like him too much. Maybe it's just like too perfect. He's too nice. Da, 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 da.
Too perfect, you know, is a fictional thing.
Like, it's a fictional
that thing. Cannot happen.
No.
You're describing a guy that you actually hate.
No. Yeah. Okay. When you describe a guy as really nice and too perfect, what you're actually saying is I find him boring and unstimulating, but that feels like something I shouldn't say or can't say. And that
she cannot give herself permission to actually want something like as like the subject in her own life.
No offense. I have these problems that Carrie Bradshaw has because she's a real woman and so am I. Mm-hmm. And she had an actual life. If you actually look in the historical record, she's a real person. She actually existed. Here's the thing.
Candace Bushnell, but yes.
When you live sort of like an unconventional lifestyle, let's say like you're a writer, you party for a living, you're a musician, you're an artist, etc. Guys like Aiden always seem like sort of like the perfect choice because they're like stable and they have a normal job and like, oh, he like builds furniture and has a fucking house in the woods and he's like kind of well off but normal. And like, you know, I'm going to go and I'm going to meet his fucking, you know, 2.5 kids ass family in the fucking suburbs. And he's going to like take me to his family's farm. Da 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 da. You know what? Maybe there are girls that want to really retire to the trad wife lifestyle. We see it right now currently. But like, ultimately, for me, to me, as a professional 365, I have just been so bored by them the last couple of years being single again.
It's boring.
You think that like, you know what? Oh, I just find like this guy that's not in the lifestyle, if you want to say it like that. And then you do, and you're like, I literally have nothing to talk to you about because you asked me what I did yesterday and it's the type of shit that like you joke about happening to other people
and they literally don't have anything to talk about
yesterday. Like, and you like talk to an accountant and fucking printed out something at work and then you went home and heated up Trader Joe's pizza and like fucking watched baseball. Like what
the thing is like, we actually see them not have anything to talk about. Like
nothing to talk about. He doesn't even want to have anything to talk
about. Like, what are they curious about the stuff that she's into? She's not curious about the stuff that he's into.
What'd you do? Yeah, he doesn't
pick up.
You know what we don't see them do together? We don't see them go to parties. We don't see them go out. We don't see them do
We don't see them interact with each other's friends.
That we know that Carrie actually does, which by the way, if we're going to follow this plot line, once Big comes back into the picture, they get married. We see them in the movies. We see them in Just Like That. Do you know what Big does to her? He does the exact same thing that Aiden does. But Big previously was the kind of guy that would go out. He was mixy. He like was sort of this like finance guy that was going to the bars and going to all the little mixers. And he had his little parties, even if they were stuffy. But he's ready to settle down. And so he comes back into Carrie's life when he's ready to settle down on his timeline. And he's like, okay, Carrie, I'm ready now to be a boyfriend. And she's like, okay, I didn't do anything for my last relationship. And I'm going to settle down with this man who has proven himself to literally only allow us to live on his exact timeline. That's a story for a different day, but I think
we do have to talk about Big, though, because it's interesting to see that, like, she's so apprehensive about her relationship with Aiden, and then she sees Big, and then the fear of insecurity that she got from Big returns to her with such strength that she runs back into the arms of Aiden. And so we literally get to see how she's haunted by her experience with Big to the point that Aiden feels like the safe and inevitable and ideal option for her, when literally neither of them.
They both suck.
Like this arc of the show is like, or this like the this part of the this season really is such like a great example, I guess, of like compulsory heterosexuality as it works on heterosexual women as well, because it's just like it doesn't occur to them as an option that they could want someone or something else. Like it doesn't actually present, like she's like, oh, like maybe there's like, oh, maybe there's something wrong with me for not being into this relationship. It doesn't occur to you could just not be into it. Like, what if you're not into that? Not even just not into men generally, that specific man, you're allowed to not like it. There's so many times I've gone on a few dates with someone, dated them for a couple of weeks, and I'm like, you know what? We're not a great match. The sex was great. We had a couple of good conversations. just not really a good match. I'm not really feeling it.
I will say the only person that actually, I will say, like, if we're going to take it all the way back, the only guy that I truly think could have ever made Carrie happy because he's as insane as she was, ultimately, we only ever see him in one episode. He's a one-off character. Who's to say if it really would have worked out? But I always am like, they should have brought back fucking Justin Theroux from season one in The Monogamists. Remember The Monogamists, where they go to the party and he plays the up-and-coming author that she's like sort of low-key cheating on Big with until Big calls her and she leaves the party to like stand silently in his arms in the park. That kind of like party guy author hotshot was like ultimately who Carrie needed. That's a different
story. Now I'm like interested in, I think that the closest we maybe get to that is Berger, but he's too insecure. I think the thing that you're raising is actually an interesting point to think about, like what the sight or occurrence of Big does to her when she is with other men. Big over these other people because she's like really reacting to that fear of being insufficient for Big.
Carrie Bradshaw,
so, like, could have response. Like,
she could have survived and been thriving and been still like New York City's it girl if she had just been born 20 years later and enough time to have had a bisexual boyfriend. Like, you know what I mean?
like a real bisexual boyfriend.
Like a real bisexual non-monog slut, like, would have fixed Carrie Bradshaw. I truly believe this, but that's a different story. So Carrie stuff, pretty interesting.
I don't know if I believe that. I don't. I'm going to let it go.
I'm fully bullshitting. No, what Carrie Bradshaw needs.
We've seen how that works, and it doesn't.
You know how it works, and what she needs is a DJ. No. Yeah. No, so then the final stage evolution of the settling is actually a settling plot that then continues to haunt Sanda for literally 30 years, as we know.
For the rest of her life.
For the literal rest of her life. She
ends up with a whole other human being coming out of her body as a result of it.
Like, she settles in a way where she begins raising her first child before she's ever even given birth to a baby. You know what I mean? Like, that's how she is asked to settle. So the thing is that she is so comfortable with Steve and they can do anything. They can like go to the bathroom with the door open and clip their nails in front of each other. And like, it's like the thing that I look forward to most on a Saturday night is doing his laundry, which
it's so like, it's so literal. It's so on the nose.
Can I just say, one, this is the most like sexist 90s, like harpy woman finds a good man bullshit that is like the worst kind of the 90s feminism, where it's like, no, you know, like you think you're like this empowered girl boss corporate BS bullshit, but like, watch out, you're just gonna find the right guy and he's gonna make you feel differently. You know, it's that kind of thing. But also with the thing with Steve is like, I just don't believe this. Do not believe this. I don't believe that Miranda's entire plot line for the last three seasons has been that, like, she's just too uptight, but inside she's kind of a slob, and all she was needing was a guy to, like, undo the, like, bond she's put herself in so she could just, like, be the slob that she really is. No, that's just fundamentally what we know about Miranda. Literally everything that they have shown us is that, like, she is uptight, she is tight, she is controlling, she is like extremely demanding, she likes to, before a man comes around,
she also likes to have fun,
guys, she likes
within those constraints.
That's
like
not like a constraint that like a not a doesn't allow her to like express herself,
just that, like, that she is like fun and expressive and dynamic in her way. She's not that in someone else's way.
She's not the type like, where she's like, oh, pushed all I needed was a
her
guy
to someone else's definition of pleasure.
I just needed to like be a, I just needed to find a slob guy that could like convince me to wear
sweatpants. She talks about she's having, they're having like unsatisfying, they talk about the sex.
No,
she goes,
they say,
that's often enough, but it just feels like a race to an orgasm.
8 minutes of no frills sex.
It's like, you hate this man.
15 minutes of Dateline.
That you hate this man.
No. See,
you
this
don't like him.
No, this is the thing. Is it's like, this is the curse of heterosexuality, where like in a lot of heterosexual relationships, I've been in relationships like this where it's sort of, it gets to that stage where you're like, sex isn't that interesting. You don't really turn me on anymore. Like, we're sort of comfortable together being roommates and friends, but like, I don't feel like necessarily a lot of passion here, but like, that's good. That means that we're best friends. That means we're like totally comfortable.
I mean, this happens in queer relationships also.
Oh, 100%. I'm saying I'm saying within the like confines of heterosexuality, this is very common. This is like a thing that like women are told is like a goal in a relationship to get to this phase where you can like let your hair down and like, you know, all that other stuff doesn't really matter because you guys are best friends, whatever. So I think what's interesting here is, like we said, with the compulsory heterosexuality angle, she sort of is doing this like role reversal to us that feels uncharacteristic. And it is, I feel like inside we know the compulsory heterosexuality. You know what I mean? Like that,
like, why are you acting like, are you on drugs? Like,
I'm going to completely reject everything that I have been like building to over the last three seasons, like all the things and all the people and all the like kind of lifestyles that I've lived. I'm going to completely reject it, and I'm going to settle down with this man, and I'm going to be so happy watching his shit stained underwear on a Saturday night and having 8 minutes of uninteresting bad sex. That's the thing that I look forward to most in the week.
This is also like, this is such like a tell, or it's almost like allegorical, like and calling it like, oh, it's no frills sex, and it's like, well, it's fine enough. It's just, you know, it's like routine, like it's like a race to an orgasm. It's like, you are settling. You're describing, that's an example of settling. Like, it's, if it's not passionate, it's not pleasurable. Well, I come.
Yeah.
Do you not want more? You can make yourself come.
Okay, there's this thing in like fantasy books you don't read, so you wouldn't know this. Wait, I'm kidding,
bitch, but I don't. But you spell.
You're not into hocus pocus bullshit. But like, there's this like trope in fantasy books where like, you know, the hero gets to the wizard's lair and then the wizard casts a spell that like gives them what they think they want, and they're like, oh, la la la, my perfect little life. And then there's like just something a little bit off in the dream where it's like, you know, like a painting on the wall that's kind of crooked, or like a flower that always is wilting in the windowsill. And they're like, this perfect dream life that I have seems a little bit spooky, but like, I'm sure it's fine. And then eventually they realize they've been having like a spell or a curse cast on them or whatever. They wake up and they're like, whoa, that was spooky. Why was I just like, you know, thinking that that was my perfect life? That feels like what Miranda's going through. Yeah. Where wizard put a curse on her and she's sort of like in this like,
it marks as her moment of discovery.
Yeah.
She could escape with the skid marks, but she doesn't.
No.
She pushes it down. She pushes it down with the help of her good friend, Carrie, who will do anything for a man.
No, she doesn't push it down. She shoves her face in the skid marks and takes a big old smell. I love the flavor. Yeah. I love the smell.
Yummy.
A little zest to it. I love the way his Old Spice deodorant.
No, they are having, like, this is just like, this whole episode is just like trauma response. Like, what is going on?
And it's funny that we will eventually get like her own era of like the parent plotline that Carrie is sort of going through. But it's funny too, where Carrie says something like, can I say, this is why I love these writers at times, because they truly will stumble on greatness in a way that they are completely unaware of. And also like,
it's divine intervention.
So, Carrie has this line that I think is like literally the thesis of her entire relationship with Aiden, where she's like, I realized that I've become the big in my relationship.
Yeah.
Like that she's like, I don't need to meet the parents. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
I'm so like unattached, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's saying that is like, I have to overcome being that. But it's like, baby, if you thought about that for 5 seconds, listen to what you just said.
Yeah.
You are the big. You are uninterested in building a long-term relationship with this person. You are unattached. You do not like this person enough to want to be their boyfriend.
She asks him to be less available to her, and then only after seeing Big, or no, that's not true, not only after, but it certainly coincides, but just before then, and then definitely after, she's like, oh, like, actually I want him back because I don't like being alone. This is, I mean, many such cases. If I can,
I think it's just like Big too. Big being like, I'm old and alone and single, like a 50-year-old man with nobody. I guess I'm going to like spin the wheel and choose Carrie Bradshaw.
Yeah. I think this is also like her seeing Big is the beginning of the Big reentry arc, which I think is also kind of interesting, and maybe it's premature to talk about it, but I think it's like, I'm curious about his motivation, I guess.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Because it feels very like it's like, what are you getting out of this? Like, I think he just like, I think on some level, like, he likes her, but he's not interested in actually, like, or he likes how he feels with her, but that's because he likes control. I think sometimes in the context of a marriage, a patriarchal institution like marriage can both give men control and also frustrate their ideas about having total control over their life. And so we see this also in the next episode. I think it's the next episode or the one after that, at least the times he starts to get frustrated with Natasha is and desire to leave the marriage is it seems to coincide with just her redecorating things in his apartment.
Yeah.
Which is when he doesn't have total control. What he liked about Carrie was that even though she was a real firecracker and they laughed and had certain social overlaps or whatever, like ultimately, like, she was kind of at his beck and call. Which is not so if you have someone who's actually like the head of your household,
literally,
like the manager of the domestic domain, like Natasha is, as his wife. So I think that's like part of why he's interested in her. And then I think seeing her at an opera, them like looking at him chasing after her from at the opera, which is like the a later scene in this episode, is so it's so like literary. Like, it's so like, it's so romantic in the sense that it's something from a novel, which I think is like, I think, you know, like, it sort of speaks to who Carrie is as a character. Like, she will go for something that is, this is maybe like how do I want to say this? It's interesting that her thesis, though I don't think it's the actual take on the episode, her thesis is that, oh, maybe we're drama queens, we want drama. She's presented with drama in the form of this man chasing her at an opera. And so there, and then she's like, oh, I guess this is it. But like, actually, like she's straining against, I guess, what both of these relationships mean.
Oh my God. 100%. It's so interesting. I mean, like, again, this is one of those episodes of this show that truly feels.
Oh, wait, I have one more thought. Fuck. Sorry. Also, I think this is, sorry. I think also like she registers these kind of gestures from Big as disruptive, but ultimately like something she can play with or build on, because I think on some, like, he doesn't actually like care for her enough to like build any kind of love. He can only speak to her in the language of gesture, and she has accepted that is actually what love looks like. So like, yes. That is like, so like, that's, I think, maybe what part of the drama aspect is. Okay.
I was just also gonna say, like, the thing that is interesting to me is like, these writers so often, like, truly will stumble on greatness, and like,
your hair looks really cute right now.
Thank you. They will write a like really fabulous episode and then do like all the wrong things with it, but I enjoy it anyways, and that's how I always feel. Yeah. So, you know, it just like sets up so many plot lines, mm-hmm. and is sort of like the basis for so many things, like with Charlotte and Trey, Big mm-hmm. Aiden and Carrie and the affair, and Miranda and Steve. Like, there's so many things, but the thing that makes me the craziest is that, like, Miranda from here, it is a direct line from having washing his dirty Skidmark underwear being the most enjoyable part of your week to him cheating on you with the nanny. Like, that is a direct line. That is a straight line between these two plot lines. And I hate that. I hate that we know that that's where it's going, but I'm going to be watching.
It's so, like, it's misogynist.
Oh, I mean, it's fully misogynist.
Yeah.
I mean, it's also funny because it's like, it's misogynist. I mean,
that's life.
But also,
like, we're describing yeah. like heterosexual life.
It's misogyny, but it's also true. Like, it is just what is going to happen in a lot of women's lives. That's all I've got for this episode. I mean, we are doing a bit of a shorter one because I got to get going soon, but.
Yeah. I mean, I think we should find a couple more things to say somehow, but it's true. Like, I think the episode sort of speaks for itself in this kind of way. And I think we've like, we've built up the lens for it. I think we're okay. So we'll just say, like, you're not still on your break now, are you?
No, we just got back this week.
Okay. Fab. I have to say, this has been like a period, a lot of the podcasts I listen to are on summer break, and I'm really like, noticing the absence. I'm like, what's going on? We are going to I will be in Philadelphia in a couple weeks. And so we're going to try to do...
Wait, that's like in like 2 weeks, together. Right?
Yeah, 2 weeks, couple weeks.
Oh my God, that's going to be so exciting.
Yeah, so we'll try to do something together. Obviously, a lot together, but I mean like an episode together.
I know. I'm going to show you the life that you say I straddle so perfectly between the heterosexual and homosexual worlds. I'm going to show you how I do that when you get here.
Yeah, that was just like,
that was something you said to me over text message, and I went, whoa.
Well, I think that's like, you know, that's inevitably like the role of a straight transgender woman who's immersed in pop culture. Like, no, you're going to have to do it. But it is like, but it is very much like your situation. Because also just like, you know, like you're having heterosexual plot lines and like, and the friends you're showing me, I'm like, these are straight dudes. Like, they're straight women. You're hanging out with straight people. Like, and also fair, you're like,
I don't think I actually have any straight women in my life, but there are a lot of straight men.
Okay. Well, misogyny alert.
Misogyny alert. Misogyny alert.
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
Wait,
what
do
else.
Do I have any straight women in my life? I mean, me.
I don't have a lot either. If I do,
I think I'm the only straight woman in my life.
Period. Yeah, I don't have a lot either. The straight women in my life are trans women, which is straight, but different.
Straight, not straight? Are,
no,
not
it's straight, but it's
are
different.
They gay? Are the, why are
well,
they
it's gay, gay for the men. But
you took estrogen, so you get to make that joke.
Yeah, I'm really resting on it. I've decided to actually like take seriously the bit about like pretending to be into women. Like I've started like making more jokes about that. So I'm gonna see what that when that does for me.
Well, there's officially a 2 week deadline until we get to have sex. So then we'll really
chop chop. Chop chop
chop chop
chop chop, get it together. Yeah, no, I'll provide during the video. I'll provide
you should provide
a man who is interested in women.
You should provide
I'll provide a man who's actually interested in women. I'm bringing one with me.
You're bringing a, I guess, sort of like phone a friend for like being.
Yeah, it's my friend Ben who his line is that he's a practicing bisexual. He's had real relationships with people of all six genders, which is cisgender women, transgender women, cisgender men, transgender men, cool non-binary, cringe non-binary.
Hey, great. Yeah, that's all of them.
That actually is all of them. When you think about it, that actually pretty much covers all bases.
Right now, have you decided?
There's some that are only like hyper local variants. You know what I mean? Like people, like you'll make a joke like this, and then people will be like, "What about this guy in Bushwick?" And I'm like, "That's not real.
That's not a real guy." No, I was gonna ask which one are you right now currently on the tour chart?
I'm cool non-binary.
You're cool non-binary. Cool.
Please, I think that's the only option.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sister. Wait, there was that.
This is like a joke. This reminds me of a joke that Mimi Zima said to me. That was like, I like sent her a selfie or something when I was in Europe. I remember, and she was like, "Okay, you are my sister, but when we hang out, I will need to compare hands." Like that is so real.
Shout out Fugly Betty calling a gay guy your sister. Something that is so healing and profound. Well, when you meet me, one thing you're going to learn about me is that I have really small, delicate hands, and I have really delicate.
I think I actually already knew that.
Yeah,
I think we've actually talked about that.
I'm currently wearing size. Let's see, these shoes are, well, they're Rick Owens, so maybe they're a little oversized, but like my men's size is like a size 7.
Okay. Flags. I love how you're just like, yeah, I'm kind of dainty and female, by the way.
What's it? What did she say?
Just letting everyone know.
What did Danica say on Love Island? Sorry, I'm so small.
Okay, something about I was thinking about Love Island while I was watching this episode. There's something about it that feels like kind of related in the sense that they're like really like extremely over concerned with the dynamics of relationships that ultimately have lasted like zero time. And I think it's like no wonder like you guys are falling in love. You're not at work.
You're not
like
at work.
You're like this is your job right now.
This
you
is
know what I, it's like
this
you
is
you know what I mean. Like of course. Many such cases. I think that's also like, oh, the thing that made me think about this was Charlotte saying that, like, you know, she's approaching finding a partner like a full-time job. And it's like, yeah, I think when you are in that headspace, like, you know, it's like when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Like when you got that, then everything's like, well, I guess I'm getting married. Because I'm getting married. And then like she really finds Trey at just the right time without knowing anything about him.
That's, yeah, no, literally. Literally.
Yeah.
I love that Samantha's in a place of Viagra. That's about the only queen. Thing I can say about that.
Queen. Yeah. I have, obviously.
I don't think I've taken it, and I don't think I've not taken it for sure, but I've never.
I can't imagine why you would.
No. What I'm saying is I've never taken it, but also I've never been with anyone who's taken it.
Well, you might not know.
Yeah. Well, I guess like that's not been a. I mean, I've had friends that like go on hookups and bring Viagra because like they want sex, and also I know a lot of porn performers that you know. Yeah.
And sometimes it's just
I'm just like, saying, like, I don't think I've ever had anyone even mention Viagra.
I mean, I've had like an interesting relationship with Viagra recently, I guess, just because it kind of connects back to the thing I was saying before. That was like, I guess, being in tune with your body. Where I'm like, I'm in two minds. Like, I think one of them is that, like, especially if you're like partying, not in like the capital T partying, but like you know, you're at parties or something, like, or it's like a long day and something like. Or you're having a kind of durational experience, like going to a bathhouse or something. Like, it's nice to have this thing as a assurance that, like, you know, you can be distracted or other substances can enter the picture and it won't fuck up the dynamic.
Yeah.
And it's also just like, you know, it's just nice to have a little, because there's so many ways in which, like, the experience of sex can be incredibly distracting.
Oh my God. Distracting.
Or like so many things get like in that come into that experience can be very distracting. But there's also the point where I'm like, am I trying to rely on that? Like, I've had moments where I've already jerked off that day or something, and I've like had a few drinks or like or something, or like even like I remember in Portugal, I was like, it was like I'd already had sex that day, I think, or jerked off, and I'd done coke and like had a couple drinks, and I was still like, sorry to do this, rock hard, like sleeping with some guy at the end of the day, and I was like, you know what, actually, like. Maybe if it'll just kind of work out if I'm really into it, which makes me think, like, is there a way in which, like, I could be relying upon this to, like, do what Carrie is doing, where I'm just, like, not letting myself think about whether or not I'm actually into it?
Yeah.
100%. And so, like, in that way, I'm, like, trying to, like, reevaluate my relationship to, like, that as just part of, like, hooking up. Like, I'm going to Montreal this weekend, and I've already deleted Grindr from my phone and I'm not planning on redownloading it. So I'm like, actually, like, what would it look like to be in another city alone and my priority is not hooking up?
Oh, I don't even have it on my phone anymore either. Cause I'm
But like for me, that's kind of a big deal because I'm like sort of obsessive.
No. What I'm saying is like, I deleted it off. Yeah. I deleted all the dating apps off my phone.
Okay, sister.
It's like, I just like,
yeah,
was bored, and I've actually been getting a lot of luck in real life. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, you know what? I have real life pull. The only reason I'm actually going this weekend is because last weekend I like met some guy at an event, and who's from Montreal, and he was like, oh, and you can stay at my place sometime if you want. I was like, how's next weekend?
Ooh.
I was just like, yeah, real life pull is actually something, and I'm like, I am curious about what my experience of traveling, even like a small solo trip or something, could be like if I'm not glued to my phone in this way that I'm kind of used to, or like sublimating my other interests or desires or opportunities for connections to the possibility of hooking up.
God, I'm so
like, am I settling by doing that, like by prioritizing sex in that way?
I'm so interested to see what you're gonna think of Tri-State Dick. I really am interested to see what
I've never been to Philly
topic. What kind of
I might have it again by that point. We don't know. You know, I don't know.
No, well,
also, like, famously, like, men in New York are very unpredictable. I don't know.
No. What I'm saying is, like, I'm interested in seeing what your experience of the men in the city is, period.
Oh, when we're true. Going,
like,
well, I mean, you have to take me to events where there's actual
events where there's odd gay guys. So, like.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you're going to have to be, you're in like a beautiful woman chastity cage while I go off and gallivant.
Wait, I don't get to gallivant either. So
sorry, we're in faggot zone.
I am excited to dance because like my friends really like to dance. So I'm just warning you that we're going to like be dancing a lot.
Fabulous. Fabulous.
I remember one time I got invited out by people I didn't really know. They're like, my friends and I are going to go dancing. You should come with us. This was like years ago. And I was like, oh, finally, people who dance. I love dancing. And I go out and it literally was like just top 40 radio at a dive.
Oh my God.
And I was like, what? Is and like we didn't dance. We like stood at a high top and like there were like three people doing like spinning their girlfriend around on the dance floor, and I went,
I was like,
oh no, we have, I think we have different ideas about what that
means. I danced so much this past weekend. There was like a festival in Toronto, and it was like the first time they did it. And it was like at this venue that I hate, but they improved the sound substantially, which was nice at least. And like they got so many good acts, and I was literally just like dancing the entire fucking time. Like I was
they
crazy.
Needed photos at this party that I love. Like I actually am at this party in Philadelphia all the time. And so I'm like acquainted with the person who runs it, but they like need photos for this event, you know, to like post on Instagram. And me and my friend were going so hard. We looked so hot. We're dancing so hot. They were like, can you get behind the booth and just dance so we can take a bunch of guys? So literally it was like us just like throwing ass on stage. Like, and I felt like my friend was like, are we really going to do this? I was like, bitch, there's a wall-to-wall mirror.
Exactly. And like, there's no way I'm not going to do this.
We're
like,
in the booth,
I will take any opportunity.
There's a wall-to-wall mirror, and like we're on a stage.
Wait, that sounds kind of sickening. Are they looking for new DJs by any chance?
I mean, there might be a fun party there. But I will warn you, I hope that by the time you're here, the summer slump is over. Because that is like a real thing here because of the heat.
I would love to play a gig in Philly, but I think you should
ask.
Yeah. I mean, you said you know these people who run a party, so what the fuck?
Let me see. If
yeah,
they have a party.
I should ask Amber, too. Like, I don't know
they have
why
a party
yet.
Series that's like, and friends. And here so maybe are. You can be one of the friends. I'll ask if there's
any. Yeah, when I'm in New York earlier that week, I'm going to do something with, do you know Angel Ray, Aster, and Hannah Account?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to just do a thing with them. The concept is like, like what would happen if a dyke and a gay guy tried to flirt, but then we like ended up going like such a weird direction. Like we took like the cowboy version of like that kind of like meme version, and then like
yeah,
but the promotional stuff is gonna look like really stupid. Like I'm really psyched about it.
Maybe I'll be able to go though. I don't know, maybe I'll go, maybe I'll bring Chris,
maybe.
No, I'm saying maybe I'll bring Chris. I don't know. Okay, I have to go because I'm so in this office.
Okay, do your thing.
Can I just say, I'm so ready for the summer to be over or to at least get an AC unit in my office next summer because, like, this is the one room in the house that it's carpet and it has low ceilings and it just, like, traps all the heat in the house. It's one room.
So I love the summer. What I would love is a cool breeze.
Yeah, would love a cool breeze.
A cool breeze would be kind. One that like, if we can get one or two of those.
Yeah. A cool breeze that doesn't get caught on the microphone would be really nice.
Ooh, baby. Impossible. Yeah, I have my AC and fan going, so like, who knows if you can hear it in the background.
No, probably. I won't. I have no introduction on. I love you. I miss you.
I love you, too. I miss you. I'm glad we got a chance to record. It's been forever. Sorry.
I know. Everyone. Well, yeah, we were on break, so, you know.
Doing stuff. Whatever.
Vacation, and
I've been being a lawyer, for real, which is so funny.
I know. Well, I was like, can't you record at like 4? And you were like, I have a real job.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm in a hearing.
You're like,
oh yeah,
bitch, I'm literally in court. You're literally Miranda Hobbsing right
it's like
now.
It's
I'm Carrie,
a crazy funny
I'm
fact
Carrie
that I'm actually
you. No, I'm Carrie calling you at 3 p.m. from like a cafe that I've been sitting in for 6 hours to talk about how my boyfriend doesn't like me, and you're like, girl, I'm in court. Like, I'm literally in court.
No, it's crazy that I'm actually a lawyer. That's just why it's so like I've been finding the internet so much less interesting lately because it's like he will say something and I'm like, I don't care. I'm a lawyer and my body is tea.
Wait, do you have to like wear professional clothing?
Everything's on Zoom. So if I'm appearing and like making submissions and stuff, then like I'll wear like a collared shirt.
I can't even imagine what you would look like in a collared shirt.
I think you've seen me with that. I think you've seen me with that before. I look hot. I'll be honest.
I'll trust you.
It's part of why I like kind of wanted a neck tattoo because I was like, it would look so good peeking out. Okay, actually, I want to maybe get a tattoo in Philadelphia. Now that I'm thinking about it.
Speaking as a girl with a big neck tattoo.
Yeah, no, I just thought about this now, actually, and I'm like, you know what? It's 2 weeks away. It's close, but it's possible.
I mean, I would look. Look, I don't know any people. I mean.
Okay, never mind that.
No, I don't know anyone.
Okay.
I have one, but they're not. I don't think they're doing like, I don't think they're taking clients right now.
Okay.
I'll ask.
Okay. Fam. So we have two things for you to ask on. Okay.
I love you.
I love you too.
Bye.
You look great, by the way.
Oh, I know I do. Wait, can I show you this dress? And then can I show you this dress and the Rick Owens? One sec. I'm going to.
Yeah.
Wait, give them a little play by play. So I'm doing a sort of like a high and a low moment right now.
Wait, we're seeing. What? I'm seeing so let much me, of like of oh, the background image. It's so
let me
hard.
Turn off the. Let me turn off the background.
Yeah.
I forgot that there's a virtual background.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
So this is the This is the draft.
Nice.
It's totally see-through if you can't tell from my
summary, girly, tits are out.
Okay, but then wait. These are the shoes.
Cute.
See the Rick Owen Turbo Weapons?
Cute. You're kind of doing like a like it's sort of like a baby girl kind of like sort of look, like in terms of like the heights and lengths of things and the color palette, but it's like not that kind of like exaggerated silly look that can be.
My tits are so big.
They're oh no. Oh no.
Oh no, I'm spilling.
It's like what do they say on Nymphowars? Creamy milky breasts. Okay. Let's end this shit.
Bye.
Bye. Shit.